The next presentation is entitled Test of Concept, Gaseous 1-MCP Applied to Container-Grown Cotton Plants. And I'll make the presentation. My co-author in this study is Dr. Chris Main, University of Tennessee. As you may know, 1-MCP stands for 1-methylcyclopropene, a compound that is known to occupy ethylene receptor sites within the plant and thus preemptively inhibit ethylene activity. The concept that we're testing is whether in a container-grown system we can emulate the response seen in horticultural crops such that we can then take the same concept to the field. Now, as a backdrop to the study that we'll look at today, we have conducted some other research on MCP earlier in our program. Starting in 2004, we had a field study and a greenhouse study of effects on boll retention, yield, effects on drought response. In 2007, we continued with a field study of application methods. And this last year, a host of studies of various formulations, rates, and methods of 1-MCP application. And all of these experiments had two things in common. One is that they all involve spraying aqueous solutions of 1-MCP. And the other thing they've shared in common is that in none of them could we elicit a response to this treatment. So with that in mind, we started looking more closely at the nature of the 1-methylcyclopropene molecule and its physical characteristics. It's a small molecule, a colorless gas, normally, with a very high volatility. Its vapor pressure is high. If I can get a cursor going on this screen, I could point it out to you. But lo and behold, there it is. It is quite soluble in water, but if you look at the Henry's law constant here, you'll see that it also has the potential to volatilize from moist surfaces and water, very high. Look at the value you have here. It wants out of the water in the worst way. It fizzes out. If you've ever tried to work with a solution of 1-MCP, you know what we're talking about here. So with that in mind, you must also realize that there are commercial 1-MCP products that are sold in gaseous form, manufactured by AgroFresh Incorporated, two of them in particular, one for the wholesale fruit and vegetable industry to extend the shelf life of fresh market produce. It's called SmartFresh. It's applied as a kit in sealed containers in the wholesale level of that industry primarily. The other is just a different formulation of the same AI called EthylBlock. It's used in wholesale nursery in the cut flower industry, pre or post harvest, also in sealed containers. It is a gas. So you have to enclose your target plant material with the gas to get it to uptake. And in the nursery industry, it controls abscission, senescence, and extends the shelf life of nursery stock. And if you can imagine inhibiting ethylene activity, you can imagine why. Typically in these post-harvest products, you have an awful a lot of endogenous ethylene that is produced that accelerates post-harvest ripening and perhaps too quickly for the shelf life of these products. Just a couple of quick examples, one from cut flowers. These are examples published in the scientific literature. This one happens to be from Geraldine wax flower sprigs. Cut flowers are typically subject to dehydration after the cut. They're held in darkness and are subject to mechanical stresses. Here we've got 2 parts per billion of 1-MCP applied for 6 hours, followed by 72 hours of dry storage in darkness. And the table here shows the effects of 1-MCP applied as a gas to the percent abscission here. Of buds, flowers, and leaves. Well, this looked promising to us. Of course, we're not working with cut flowers when we're working with cotton. Another example that's maybe closer to what we're trying to do is this example involving Regal Pelargonium in pots. This is container-grown nursery stock. And here too, you're trying to preserve product shelf life in pots and it's being transported to retail locations. You're trying to reduce petal abscission. This is interesting to us. So here we see the treatments of 4 hours of 0 and 1 part per million, 1 mcp, and a subsequent treatment of simulated transport. And you can see in the figure on the right the differences in petal abscission, but those differences, there were differences in genotype in response in this particular study. Anyway, those are just two examples that gave us our concept of treating cotton plants with a compound to preemptively occupy these ethylene receptor sites to possibly reduce injury due to stress. We're talking about stress ethylene, endogenous stress ethylene here, to reduce abscission of leaves and fruit. This is the most obvious morphological injury that we see with, for instance, drought stress. So our objectives were to look at container-grown cotton and is subjected to gaseous 1 mcp as smart fresh under contrasting water regimes. And you can imagine the water regimes are going to impose some stress here. The study was conducted this last year at Jackson, Tennessee, using Stoneville 5242BR in a factorial design with 6 reps. Each experimental unit was 4 plants, one in each plant in a 7-gallon container. We had smart fresh treatments of 1 part per million gaseous 1 mcp for 15 hours in fumigation tents and as compared to untreated plants that were also placed in separate tents at the same time. And those treatments were applied one time 14 days after first square. The irrigation treatments were fully irrigated based upon gravimetric water loss of the pots. And the plants were subjected to progressive drought stress in the starting at 7 days in the drought treatment. Just to look at the experiment, at about the time the water treatment started, there were 96 pots, plants total in the experiment in the greenhouse. Here you see in the foreground, we're getting some baseline measurements with our steady state pyrometer. Look at leaf stomatal conductance. We also have a small micro weather station in here to monitor environmental conditions in the study. The treatment tents were designed per AgroFresh specifications. And at this point, let me acknowledge the technical guidance and as well as the monetary support of AgroFresh for this study, particularly the technical advice of Mark Dahmer and Jason Alford, without whom we couldn't have done this study. We used 6 mil sheeting on PVC frame in 2 parts. You see in the picture the base of the treatment tent, and with some of the with the environmental monitor as well as the Smart Fresh kit placed in the middle of the floor. That's the Smart Fresh kit in the green and white box. It also has a small fan next to it to circulate the 1 mcp gas once the tent is closed. The kit is calibrated to dispense 1 part per million in a 6 cubic meter tent. Notice we have here a water seal between the floor and the top. And we had very similar tents for the untreated plants except for the Smart Fresh kit. Everything else was in the tent there. And in these pictures you see 55 days after planting, we dispensed the Smart Fresh tablets into the kit just prior to placing them in the middle of the tent with plants already in place. We closed the tents, containing 24 plants for a 15-hour treatment period. Now, the irrigation treatments was the other factor in the study, and here you see a time course of our two irrigation treatments. The green line is the full irrigation treatment where we fully replaced the water used based upon weighing of pots and determining water loss. And the drought treatments were simply a percent of that. And a rather arbitrary percent. There was nothing magical about the percents on the red line except that we did want to impose water loss, water stress treatment, enough to induce some abscission events in leaves and fruiting forms. And I think you'll see that we have done that. Sorry we've lost our cursor, because the difference between these two curves is the water deficit. Notice here right at the end, we did do a a full irrigation in the drought treatment to determine if there would be an event associated with rehydration of the drought-stressed plants. And this is just a look at the plants at about 28 days after we started those treatments. Well-watered on the left, drought-stressed on the right. You can see we were well on the path of inducing some abscission due to drought, which was what we were trying to do. Let's look at the results now. We are looking at stomatal conductance, main stem growth, leaf abscission, fruit set, and retention as well as dry matter partitioning as our responses. The first we'll look at stomatal conductance here. Four lines on our time course as days before and after MCP treatment. And the green lines are the fully irrigated treatments with and without MCP. The blue and the red lines are the drought treatments, and as no surprise to anyone, the drought treatments did reduce significantly the stomatal conductance of the topmost fully expanded leaves in the morning, and the afternoon curves look very similar. They were just low, but not a fundamental difference in terms of the MCP part of things. You can see that there was no significant effect that we could detect of MCP on the stomatal conductance here. Main stem node development, this is again days after MCP treatment, same color code on our treatments. What you can see here in the drought is the bottom pair of lines, the well water treatment at the top of the two green lines, and again, the cursor just goes away on this thing. I'm telling that so that the folks at ComEx who can record this can fix these things. Anyway, I think this is a self-explanatory slide. The main stems continue to grow under well-watered conditions. At 30 days after planting and drought treatment, you do see some effect there of the rehydration. Leaf abscission, this is a primary trait we're looking for. This is what we want to see, we want to see MCP here inhibit leaf abscission because ethylene is so active on the abscission zone at the base of the petiole along with auxin. So auxin and ethylene ratio at the abscission zone that induces leaf abscission as much during drought stress as during normal senescence. And you can see that we did indeed induce leaf abscission due to drought, did not in the well water treatments. So we're looking at the leaves here at main stem node 1 persisting in the well water treatments, but not under drought. And so the upward curve here of the drought treatments indicates the progress of leaf abscission, which was not affected by MCP. Fruit set. You can see here that we did again see some drought effects on fruit set at first and second position fruiting sites. This is just fruits per plant, not percentages. We'll look at those here in a minute. We did see some small differences, but nothing significant with respect to MCP here. As you would expect, the well water treatment continued to set squares and bowls, whereas the drought treatment at about 8 days or so after MCP treatment started to differ from the well-watered in terms of the fruit load per plant, and then settled back down to a low and fairly stable level. Percent fruit is bowls. This is just a calculated ratio of the same first and second fruiting sites to see if there was a difference, particularly in earliness of fruit set. And there were some differences. There was actually some main effects of MCP here at about 27 days after planting as far as the shedding, evidently, of squares. Well, the reason these went up was not only the maturation of fruit from squares to bowls, but also the shedding of squares. Both affected this process. But the main effects that we see here due to drought, not MCP. Dry matter partitioning, this is where things start to get interesting. No significant effects in the top graph on total dry matter per plant due to MCP, although there were obvious effects due to irrigation, the exact ones you would expect. And the dry matter per fruit, however, this would be kind of a harvest index type of ratio at 86 days after planting, had an interesting interaction. You'll notice that under drought in the lower right here, zero parts per million had essentially the same percent dry matter per in fruit as did the fully irrigated treatment, but under drought we had a reduced dry matter partitioning to fruit with MCP. Looking further at that interaction, we can see here that as we looked at the total fruit retention here at the end of the season, at 86 days after planting, that there was again a difference in fruit retention under drought, but not under well-watered conditions. And the difference in fruit retention again was reflected in final plant height. A very small difference there, it's only about an inch, but evidently the lower fruit load under one MCP treatment and drought resulted in an extra inch of growth of the main stems at that time. So we've got strong drought effects here and not much MCP effects in this particular study. The drought did reduce our stomatal conductance, our main stem nodes, fruit stem, all as we expect, but we couldn't change these with MCP treatment that we imposed. We did also increase leaf abscission, but MCP didn't modify the extent of leaf shedding. We had an interaction under drought stress as far as dry matter partitioning is concerned, particularly with respect to fruit retention. We had a lower fruit retention with MCP treatment under drought, but not under well-watered conditions, and that also affected plant height. So our results don't support the hypothesis that MCP would reduce injury from drought stress by reducing abscissions of leaves and fruit. So our test of concept wasn't encouraging, but reason for bringing this talk to the Beltwise is to get your feedback as to what we might have overlooked in our study or what we might do different as we go forward in this line of research. Again, I want to thank AgroFresh Incorporated for their support of this study. Thank you.